Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
All right, good morning to you. We are so glad that you are here today. I said something to somebody coming in. I'll share it with you. You know, the doorway you came in back there this morning, those two doorways were actually windows last week. So you can actually go home today and you can say, you know, I went to church this morning, but they made me come in through the window. You know, if you really want to throw people off, tell them you went to church, but you had to climb through the window to get into church. Thank you so much for being here, though. Thank you again for your patience. I just ran into a nice lady out in the hallway that was looking for the water fountain. And she said it was her first time here, and I felt so bad that I had to say, it's gone. They took it away last week. So wherever you are, nice lady, we're going to have a new water fountain for you real soon, okay? So please bear with us and give us the benefit of the doubt here, because this place is going to be awesome sometime soon. Matter of fact, Jimmy, one of the construction workers this week, he said to me, we were actually standing right around in here, and they were getting ready to go out into that wing to work, and he was looking at the wall here, and he said, Pastor John, he said, what's it like preaching to studs every Sunday? And I said, I preached to studs here for 20 years. Right, guys? Come on, right? Yeah. Well, so, but we are so glad that you are here today. Actually, my wife warned me. She said, John, you might need to look up the definition of a stud, okay? And I told her, I will after church, all right? These guys need to feel good about themselves. So we're glad that you're here today, though. We are in chapter 29 of the story. The story is 31 chronological chapters built around the Word of God. Each chapter is the Bible. Okay, and it tells the story of from creation to the end of time in chronological order. We're almost through with it. Today, we have two more weeks after today, and we're really excited about this, because today we're on chapter 29. It's all about Paul's mission. Have you ever read the passages that were read for you there just a minute ago? And those of you that have read the story, you'll know this is true. You know, it talks about, you know, Paul went here, and he went here, and he joined so-and-so, and they went here, and this is what they did. They established churches, and he went all around the region, and it mentions all these places and all these people, but these places and people are mentioned for a reason. Because what we've said from the very beginning is true even today. The story, God's story, is all about him winning us back. Okay? It's all about winning us back. Now, it's real important that you're here today, because did you ever hear the story about the little boys in Sunday school, and the teacher asked the little boy, said, sweetheart, said, do you know why we need to be quiet in church? And the little boy said, sure, people are sleeping. Right? No sleeping today. All right? Because here's what's really neat about this part of the story. Because when we come to chapter 29, we've been talking about God and what God has done, and it's all about God winning us back. Okay? In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned and they were expelled from the garden, God initiated a plan to what? A plan to win them back. To bring them back into a good relationship with God. The story of the nation of Israel was a story of what? It was a story of God winning us back. He told the nation of Israel, I want you to be witnesses to the whole world of my goodness and my grace. Why? Because God loves us. He wants us back. The story of Jesus in the Gospels, Jesus came, God sent his Son. Why? To win us back. Jesus died on the cross, our sin death, so that we could be made right with God. His cross that fell across that great gulf that separated us from God. Last week we talked about the second chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 also, how God was going to send us as witnesses into the whole world. Why? Because he wants to win us back. Not just us, but the next generation and the next generation. God wants to win us all back. That's what the whole story is about. So when you come to this part of it today, it's so important that we not fall asleep, that God keeps our attention, because here's the really, really, really cool part of today's message. This is where you enter the story. right? Have you ever been around somebody that kind of pays attention until the conversation becomes about them, and then they're really engaged, right? Have you ever been around people like that? You know, as long as you're talking about them, they love it. But if you got to start talking about something else, they become less interested. Well, I really think that we should be interested today because this is about us. It's not just about what God has done and how he wants to win us back, but now he's given us a job to do. He's giving us a big stake in this. Because you know what? If the next generation knows about his grace and mercy, you know how they're going to know? Because we tell them. Because we do exactly what we're going to look at the Apostle Paul and others did here in this part of the story. You know, it's interesting because he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the church is the body of Christ. That the church is the body of Christ in the world. I mean, think about that. Assembled together, the church in Jesus. We're to think like Jesus. We're to act like Jesus. We're to love like Jesus. We're to treat others like Jesus treated people. We as the body of Christ, as the church, that we are commissioned to go into all the world and be witnesses to Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said that I want you to receive power, and then you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the other parts of the earth. God wants all people in the most remote parts of the world to hear the gospel, to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And if they do, it will be because we tell them. Now, let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about here. I've lived here 20 years, and most of you have lived here longer than that. I never went to Tom and Joe's until 5 years ago. What were you guys doing the first 15 years I lived here? Right? I had breakfast yesterday morning at Tom and Joe's with some friends, and it was awesome because I went to Tom and Joe's. We had breakfast. I went back home. It was still kind of early, and I climbed back in bed. Arlene was still laying there sleeping, and I got in bed, and she was like, "Oh my goodness, you went to Tom and Joe's." And I said, "Yes, I did." Right? I mean, think about it, okay? 15 years, didn't know anything about it. Finally, somebody told me, somebody took me. I mean, isn't that the way we experience everything good in life? Listen, folks, if the people of the next generation, if our children and if our grandchildren are going to hear about the goodness of God, they're going to hear about it from us, they're going to see it in our lives. And if we don't tell them, if we don't show them, if we don't allow Jesus to speak through us, then they'll never experience this wonderful thing that we know in knowing Jesus. I love chapter 12, verse 12, 1 Corinthians. It says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. And so it is with Christ." But folks, we have such a privilege of being a part of this family. We have such a responsibility by being a part of this family. And if our children and our grandchildren and future generations are going to know of his goodness, it's because we've taken very seriously this mandate to continue this story of how much God loves us and loves them and wants to win us and win them back into good graces of his. But it doesn't happen automatically. You know, the beautiful part of this part of the story is that we are introduced to a very unlikely hero. When we first meet him, his name is Saul. Saul of Tarsus. We know him as Paul, the Apostle Paul. What an unlikely candidate to become the world's first and most renowned missionary. I mean, he was kind of like the Osama bin Laden of his day. I mean, he was hated and feared. He hated Jesus. He hated the church. He hunted down Christians. He voted to kill them. He even participated in their demise. And even Saul, who became Paul, was amazed that Jesus chose him as a missionary to the ends of the earth. I love what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 9. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect." And you know what, folks? Every person in this room this morning, you could read that verse and apply it to you. Every one of us could say, "I am the least of the servants of Jesus Christ. I don't deserve to be a part of his family. I do not deserve what God has done for me because I was hostile to him and to his message." That's who the Apostle Paul was. But isn't it ironic that God used that passionate person to bring about a marvelous revolution, not just in Jerusalem, not just in Judea, not just in Samaria, but literally all around the world. That's why when you read this part of the story and you read that Paul went to, you know, Lystra and Derbe and Lyconium and Rome and Philippi and Corinth and all these other cities, the whole point was that even though he was an unlikely candidate, God used him in marvelous and in real ways. But you know what's really unusual about this? Because when you look at this and when you study this, you realize that we are so used to looking at the Word of God in a segmented kind of way, that the Bible is not arranged chronologically; it's arranged topically. You know what I mean by that? I mean, you have the Pentateuch, you have the books of history, you have the books of poetry, you have the books of prophecy. You know, in the New Testament, you have the Gospels, you have the epistles. Yeah, but it's all topical. It's not chronological. And that's one of the beautiful things of what we've done for the last 29 weeks, because we've been looking at the story chronological. In other words, we've been looking at it in order. And when you come to this place and you put the Apostle Paul in the proper place, and you realize that the very first book that was written after the ministry of the Apostle Paul began was the book of James. The first book that Paul wrote was the book of Galatians. Paul planted churches in 10 different cities. He wrote 13 of the 27, at least 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. But it wasn't, you know, the book of Galatians was written before the Gospels. Did you know that? A lot of people didn't realize that. But chronologically, right here, you have the story of the message going out to the whole world at the very beginning here after Jesus Christ came and lived and died. Most of you have a map in your Bible that depicts the missionary journeys of Paul. He took 3 missionary journeys, and then a 4th journey that a lot of people refer to as a missionary journey was when he was actually taken as a prisoner to Rome. But look at that. When you think about what Jesus said, that you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, okay, in Judea, in Samaria, and all around the world. This was all around the world when Paul lived. So what we have here is this reluctant candidate, an unlikely candidate, being used of God in amazing ways to further his message around the world. Now, let me talk to you a minute about one particular subject, because a lot of people don't realize that Acts chapter 15 and the book of Galatians is basically about the same thing. Okay? Acts chapter 15 is the Jerusalem Council. And basically what was happening here was when Paul went out to share the message of the gospel to all the Gentile world, the question came up about, okay, if these people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Do they have to become Jews? Do they have to follow the Jewish laws? Do they have to be circumcised? And there were people that said, absolutely. I mean, if you're going to be a part of God's family, if you're going to be a part of this movement, yeah, you're going to have to follow the Jewish festivals and the Jewish feast and the Jewish dietary laws. Certainly, if you've not been circumcised, you're going to have to be circumcised. But what was happening was this question of something is really different now. Because it's not so much now about being Jewish as it is about being a Christian. And the book of Acts chapter 15 is all about this question of how far they had to go when the Gentiles became Christians. The book of Galatians is all about the law and grace. Okay? And do you have to keep the law to experience the grace? And in a nutshell, what they finally came to the conclusion of, and the answer was, no. It is significant, folks, because you and I are sitting here today benefiting from what God did then. Jewish council dealt with the question, do Gentiles have to become Jews in practice to be true Christians? Some Jewish leaders said Gentiles had to do two things, to one, believe in Jesus Christ, and two, be circumcised, the practice of the Jewish law. The council reached the conclusion that they did not have to submit to Jewish laws. And Paul's book to the Galatians argues for the reasons behind this tremendous decision. But here's the point, folks. It all became about faith and grace and mercy received through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is what our world needs today. Our world doesn't need another religion. Our world needs a relationship with the life-changing Spirit of God and Jesus Christ. And here's the point, folks. Paul's position was that he had to take that message to his world, and you and I have to take it to ours. A few years ago, my niece was getting married in New Hampshire, and she asked me if I could come up and do the wedding. My brother's daughter, love this girl dearly. Lisa's her name. She has three sweet little kids now. But she wanted me to come up, and I said, Lisa, I would love to come up to New Hampshire and do your wedding. Two things. Number one, I was just really shocked that when I investigated what it would take for me to do a wedding in New Hampshire, I found that they charged me $75. I had to pay $75 for the privilege of doing one wedding in New Hampshire. And my next one will cost me $75 more. That was weird to me. But anyway, I went and I did it. And they had this beautiful wedding out in this courtyard overlooking this lake. And she was beautiful. And it was just awesome. It was an awesome time for our family. But we did the ceremony. And after the ceremony was over, this man came up to me. And he said, Pastor, he said, I want to tell you something. And I said, what's up? And he said, I just want to let you know that it was really refreshing to hear somebody talk about Jesus in a wedding. And I said, well, thanks. And he said, you know, I never remember anybody ever talking about Jesus in a wedding. And I'm thinking, dude, what kind of circles do you run in? And then it hit me. That's our world. You know, we think that people are gonna just hear about Jesus because they're alive, but it's not so. It wasn't so with the Apostle Paul, and it's not so today. If the next generation, if our children and our grandchildren and the next generation and our cities and our towns and our state and our country and our world, if they come to know Jesus, it's because we tell them and we show them. It's not going to happen just by an accident. So I want you to know that our position today is to be the same kind of person to our generation as Paul was then. Now, why is this significant today? Well, let me give you a few reasons. Number one is we are the Gentile believers. Now think about that, folks. You and I are only here today as believers in Jesus Christ, as seekers of the kingdom of God. We are only here able to do this today because of what the Apostle Paul did and what God did through him and people like him way back when. When you saw this map up here, and you know, we talked last week about how there were people from all nations under heaven in Jerusalem, and how they heard the message in their own language, and they went back to their hometowns, and now the Apostle Paul is crisscrossing through all of these cities and all these towns, establishing churches, and he's reaching out to these people that heard the gospel in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost and then went back, and these churches were planted, and on we go. That's why the gospel is here. The gospel would not be right here in our place, at our time, without people taking that serious. So folks, listen, when we look around, and when I say, you know what, this is too bad nobody's talking about Jesus anymore. The reason that nobody's talking about Jesus anymore is that we're not talking about Jesus very much. And we're not being the hands and feet of Jesus as he's called us to. We are the Gentile believers. And we have to understand what a tremendous blessing as well as an opportunity that is. Here's the second thing. The story in the book of Acts is our story. I mentioned to you at the beginning that this is where the story becomes our story. This is where we become part of the story. This is where God puts us out on the stage. You know, this is where we come out and we do our thing. I remember when I was in grade school that I tried out for a play, and I was so excited about this, and I wanted to be a part of it. And I remember I only had a couple of lines in the play, and they came toward kind of the end of the play. And I remember sitting backstage for the entire play. And I'm out there and I'm watching my friends and I'm watching them do their lines and say their thing. And I'm just like sitting against the back wall behind the curtain waiting for my time. But then when it was time, I was out on the stage and I delivered them to the best of my ability. Okay? This is our time. This is why we are alive. To propagate and to continue this gospel message to our generation and to the next generation. The story that you see in the book of Acts is our story as well. Matter of fact, let me say it this way. Their mission is our mission. The great commission given by Jesus to them is our great commission now. I said to you last week that a general's command stays into effect until he gives a new command. We are still under the great commission of Jesus Christ. When Paul went and took the gospel message to that whole world, and then they took that message all the way down to us here today, we are still doing that right now. And you know what, folks? We have to take this so very seriously. You know, all the time, people come into these doors, and they're seeking God. And to some extent, their understanding of how real God is, they're going to get that from us. I mean, do we realize that? I mean, do you realize that your children look at you every day and they're wanting you to show them that God is real, that God is real to you, that God makes a difference in your life, that God wants to help you to be the very best that you can be. And if you're not showing them that God is real to you, they see that. And they understand that, and they're affected greatly by that. When you look at the wonderful effect that the Apostle Paul and the ministry of the Apostle Paul all around in the churches that he established, when you see the difference that it made that difference because it was real to them. I think often of the phrase that Dale Tackett used at the very beginning of the Truth Project that we did a couple of years ago. When he said that, do you believe that the things that you believe are those things really real to you? Do you believe what you believe is really real? And the world needs us to show them that yes, it's really real. You see, folks, the bottom line of what I'm trying to get across to you today is that God doesn't necessarily need us, but God has given us a tremendous opportunity to be a part of His story to this generation and the next. And we are integral. Not that God couldn't do it without us, but He's chosen not to do it without us. He's chosen to use us. And if we are not used, if we refuse to be used, the message will not go forth. I remember some years ago on my first trip to Zimbabwe, and I was invited to preach, and I'd never preached with an interpreter before. And Zebedee, you met Zebedee. Zebedee was going to interpret for me. I'll never forget the conversation I had with Zebedee, and I'm really nervous about this, and I'm trying to get him to kind of ease my fears. And, you know, I said, Zebedee, you know, tell me how to do this. And he said, you know, you just speak in sentences and phrases and then just stop. And he said, and then I will translate it for the people. And I'm like, well, how about, you know, this? And what about this? And, you know, he said, Pastor, he said, listen to me. He said, I will make you a good preacher. You know, for the life of me, that really hurt my feelings, first off. Because basically what he was saying, he was like, they don't know what you're saying anyway. Okay? I'll tell them what they need to know. He said, you just speak in phrases. And he said, if something needs to be added, I'll add it. And it was like, you know what? I'm not sure how important I am in this equation. But you know what, folks? We got to be willing. We got to be willing to share ourselves and put ourselves out there. And then trust that God will use us and He'll add what needs to be added. And He'll make the message, you know, rational and powerful as it's given to the world. But you know what, folks? He still needs us and wants us to be a part of that. You know, folks, I've seen it all around the world, and you have too, but it's a beautiful thing when you think about what God does through people that are willing to share the real love of Christ with others. I mean, think about that, folks. We are the Gentiles. All of us here today, that's who we are. Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus Christ and God's plan extended to you and me? And it all started with the Apostle Paul taking that message to the Gentile believers. And if you're here today and you're a follower of Christ, somebody told you about God's plan. Somebody was that missionary to you. Think back to that very first person who approached you, invited you, lived out their faith in front of you, made a difference in your life, and pointed you to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for that person? And God wants us to be that person over and over and over again for others. Think about it. The book of Acts, it's our story. It's where we fit into God's story. It's still being written today. We have the same commission on our lives as they had on ours, to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us until we breathe our last breath or until someone chops our head off as they did with the Apostle Paul. But our job is to proclaim that message until our days are done. And our mission is the same as their mission. To be Jesus in our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our Samaria. And it happens over and over and over again. And when it stops happening, that's when we cease to be the body of Christ. So I don't know about you folks, but can you imagine what God could do with a room full of people this size that had the heart and the passion of the Apostle Paul? What God could do through dedicated souls like that. But you know what, folks? Over the last number of weeks, instead of diving into the details of the Bible, we've tried to focus on that upper story of God. What God is up to. And right from the very first page, we get the idea that what God is up to is that He wants to win us back. He wants to love us into a good relationship with Him. like Adam and Eve, they had a different vision. Their choice injected sin into the human nature. It's transmitted to every human being, separating us from God. But the rest of the story is all about how God goes to great lengths to win us back. And you know what, folks? He's still doing it today through us. Let's let him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, what a joy it is to read about the life of this dear soul, the Apostle Paul, and God, what you've done through, what you did through him. Lord, what you continue to want to do through us. God, may we not see his life and his time just as a dusty old story to sit on the shelf. But Father, may we use that as a springboard to interject our own lives into your upper story, to be used by you today in our generation as he and others were in theirs. So Father, I pray that our passion would mirror the passion that we read in this part of the story. And that God, even though we feel unworthy, even though it seems unlikely that you would use someone like us, I pray, Lord, that we would be willing to be used of you. Father, may our world, may our families, may our home, may our communities, and ultimately the whole world, Father, may they see the real Jesus in us. And I pray, Lord, that they would see how real it is to us. And then, Lord, not only by what they see in us, but then by the words that we speak, Father, that may they be drawn unto you to be saved, Father, to gain a right relationship with you, and to have the hope of eternal life because of that. God, may that be so by all of our lives. And collectively, Lord, I pray that we would be the body of Christ to our generation and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number 4, Christ.com.